The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. Well, brethren, just a week ago, a community mourned over a school shooting that killed many children and adults. Since the shooting, many debates have begun to start to determine what can we do to keep our children safe in schools, and what laws do we need to pass to where everyone will be safe and this kind of crime will never happen again. There are also those who are asking the question, why would God allow something like this to happen to so many innocent children, their lives being cut short, leaving their family in mourning and dealing with frustration over such a tragic event? Brethren, that is a good question that we could ask. So let's ask that question. But first, let's get a little foundation. According to the traditions and the laws of our land, God and the biblical Christian living is not allowed to be practiced or taught in public school systems. So a question we could ask is, why or how could God protect them when he's not allowed in the schools and they chose not to follow his way of life? Well, in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, 1 John 3, 4, it says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So in order to have law, or for law to be in existence, we must have a lawgiver, one who creates law and ordains it to be good. And that person, or that entity, is God. He's the only one that can make righteous law. And when we commit sin, sin separates us from God, because sin is the transgression of God's law. Man, through his own knowledge, believes that he can create laws to find answers to solve the toughest questions. For in fact, mankind, with all of the knowledge that he may have, cannot really answer the simplest question, because he has removed all the information that can help him understand the meaning of life and mankind's true potential. See, God without man is still God. Only fools say there is no God, for they are corrupt. They have done abominable works through deceitful lies, convincing others through teachings of false doctrines and pagan practices. So none of them do any good. If we remove God from our lives, we are only going to have more problems in our life and in the future, because the protection that God has placed on us is being removed for the lack of obedience that we have for God. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, God is going to destroy the very pride and the foolishness of man's carnal knowledge, allowing mankind to see his ignorance, which will allow his own destruction of himself, unless Jesus Christ comes to this earth to save him. Our nation, along with the world, is in dire need of God and his blessings. But because of others who practice wickedness or lawlessness, they want us to change, to live according to their lifestyle, according to their beliefs, forcing sin becoming more prevalent in our life. And it's indoctrinated in everything and everywhere we go, whether it's our television, our movies, radio, even in our own video games, and I know you know many more places that you can find it. So I ask, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about this as the people of God, the church? Or what are we doing as the local congregation? Or we can even break it down a little bit more. The individual level, being the representative of God. Well, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. In the book, Isaiah, chapter 58, and verse 1, it says, cry aloud, spare not, Lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. See, the term here, cry aloud, is emphasized of speaking of God's word clearly and firm. The Hebrew word for this is gawron, G-A-W-R-O-N-E, which means with the throat. It is the same word, same usage, that God told Isaiah to perform, to preach the word of God at the top of his voice, telling the nations of their transgression, which the word transgression here is spelt P-E-H-S-H-A-H, Pashua, I guess, is how you pronounce that, which means to revolt or rebel. We as God's people have an obligation to teach and to warn others of their sins and how they are rebelling against God and his laws. It's how the church is to be a witness of God's word to the world. See, Israel was a rebellious nation against God's law. And they were dealt justly by God through when they were obedient, God blessed them. When they were disobedient, their blessings diminished because they didn't do what God wanted them to do. Our lifestyle today as a nation is pretty much parallel with Israel. We want to serve other gods. We want to worship idols of our own hands, claiming them to be good, when in fact they are an abomination contrary to God's own law. So instead of reading our Bibles, we let people remove them from our society. Rather than following God's laws, his commandments, and his holy days, Christianity creates its own set of laws, removing the commandments of God while creating its own holidays to worship pagan gods and idols. So we can see God is not happy with the actions that we have. Turn with me to Amos chapter 5. In the book of Amos, chapter 5, and picking up in verse 21. Amos 5:21, it says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take you away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your voice. But let judgment run down as water, and righteousness as a mighty stream. See, God demands obedience. He demands respect. Mankind will never take the time to worship him, even if they do it on the wrong day. They don't take the time to even do it that time because of their selfish lives that they live. And then when some tragic event does take place, it's then at that time we do want to reach out to God for the simple reason to have someone to blame. Why did you allow this horrific event to happen? See, throughout the entire Bible, God's people have always had opposition against the unbeliever. How do we conquer sin in our life to where we are able to reign victoriously along with Jesus Christ? Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30. It says, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? And I will also do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done in their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take from it. So we can look at this, or putting this in the layman's term, this is saying, let's learn from our forefathers. Let's have the attitude in living God's way of life completely, never losing that desire to serve God and obey his laws. Well, one of the biggest events that is soon happening in just 3 days, our country is going to be celebrating a world tradition called Christmas. This is a day that is supposed to be and represent a time of peace on earth. With many celebrations and giving of gifts, this holiday is to be holy time to the Christian denomination. But is this Christian holiday really a holiday of God, or is it made up from the warped minds of mankind? In the book of Leviticus chapter 23, you can jot this in your notes, you can read about the authorized holy days that are listed there, the ones that God has created, He ordained to be celebrated, and they are about God and His wonderful plans of salvation for all of mankind. But in verses 1 through 44, God commands these days to be holy, and they're to be observed yearly, even in their appointed times. So God even tells you the details of the month. He tells you the day. He tells you the time from sunset to sunset, except for one. He tells you you have to count that one. But none of the Christian holidays that are observed by mainstream Christianity are actually located in this list. Matter of fact, they're not really even found in the entirety of the Bible. And if you talk to most pastors of local congregations, they will admit that these days were kind of created for the Christian faith from traditions. But what is also interesting, they'll admit that the Ten Commandments are important in one way, but yet they're not really important in another way if it goes against their belief of faith. Then they're to be thrown out because God's law is not of faith based, but of knowledge and understanding. See, during this time, we'll see on many television stations that will show up. If you just flip through them, you'll usually run across them, explaining the origins of Christmas or how it came to be celebrated and how different customs came to be its existence. But you cannot take something that is of a pagan origin or tradition and remove the pagan concept from it, put the name of God in its place, and make it holy. That's like taking a pig, dressing it up with lipstick, hair, and a dress, and it's still a pig. It's pagan. So one of the most quoted scriptures that Jesus spoke about, we can read in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 40. It says, for the lack of time, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. For this is the first and great commandment." Where if you study that a little bit, you'll realize it's the first four of the Ten Commandments. And the second is likened unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is actually the last six of the ten. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. So let's just, in brief summary, let's just look at a few misguided facts about the holiday of Christmas. One, they claim it's the birth of Christ. There is no date listed in the Bible of the possible time of birth. Now, you can look at Luke 2, verse 7 and 8, and it looks like it could be spring or fall, but there's no mention about how we should celebrate it or even if we should celebrate that birth. The other is Santa Claus. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but he is a made-up character from tradition. And it violates, basically, the first, the second, and the ninth commandments. Teaching our children about this meaning of what this holiday represents, it's lying. Plain out lying, which violates the ninth commandment. All the decor, the symbols were that created by the works of our own hands to reflect God on this holy day. Well, we can also put up there our little graven images, which breaks the third commandment. Placing a pagan god before our creator God, all the traditions that have been handed down through society, breaks the first four commandments. Once the desires that are created through shopping, through envy, through the wants and the gifts, bring strife, jealousy, breaks the last six of the commandments. Worshipping the things that we don't even think about, because we sometimes get wrapped up in all of its beauty and its glory, like the lights and the decorations of an idol called a Christmas tree, which also breaks the first three. See, God had more to say about this topic of this pagan custom of the tree that Christianity adopted and cherishes in its faith to worship God. We can read this in Jeremiah 10. Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. And picking up in verse 1, it says, "Hear you the word of the Lord, speak unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen. Some translations have Gentile. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heavens, for the heathens or Gentiles are dismayed at them. Basically, back in them days, there were people that looked up at the stars, they gazed, they did astronomy, they did all kinds of reading palms, leaves, that type of stuff, which we have a lot of that still today happening. But then he changes and shifts gears a little bit, says, for the customs of the people are vain. For one who cuts a tree out of the forest from the workman's of an axe, today we would use a saw, they would decorate it with silver and gold, which is still being done today, except this time they hang stuff on top of it, hang ornaments around it. They fasten it with nails and with hammers. We have tree stands now that they just drop in, so they won't move. But then it says they are upright like a palm tree. They're not like a normal tree we'd find out in our front yard with branches hanging everywhere. They stand upright. They don't speak. They need to be moved because they cannot go on their own. Do not be afraid of them, for they do no evil. Ha, so see, it's okay to do that. But it says, but also they do no good. And that's the one thing we have to remember. God said they are an abomination to him. So let's go back and answer the question that we started with. Why does God allow disasters? To get our attention, to let us know about our sins that we have committed against him. By not following God, we are the ones that are destroying our own happiness because we are living contrary to what God commanded us to follow. His way of life, his laws, his statutes, not ours. So, brethren, can we afford to continue to follow in the path that we as a nation are walking in? We cannot make something holy. Only God can do that. But how long can we continue to defy God's laws before God will put a stop to it? If we are not going to live by God's laws, God will continue to remove his protection and blessings from this nation, from our own individual lives, where there will be more crime, there will be more tragedy, and there will be more things happen to us than have ever before. So God allows disasters to sum it up so we can learn we need God in our life, or we will destroy ourselves for the sin that we have allowed to plague us. Because we have removed ourselves from the presence of God and his righteous laws. For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.